What I really want is explain the parsha a little bit, beginning of the parsha, then explain how the Lekita Luchas takes, you know, things from the parsha and just shows us how to, you know, give ourselves shkent. So let me tell you what happened over here. Avraham Avinu had a bris, and today was his third day of his bris. And as we know, the third day is the most painful time for the sick person. The Gemara always says, the third day is the most difficult. So what did Hashem do? Hashem put out the sun, and it made sure no visitors are coming. Avraham Avinu was extremely devoted to bring in people into his house, give them a lunch or a supper, and his whole goal was to get everyone to relieve this Hashem. This was his entire life. Not just that he did chesed, the greatness of Avram, we know Avram is called the chesed, the great kindness, but the fact was that his goal of kindness was done, that he wanted very, very, very much that people should recognize Hashem. That was his goal. So the Rabbi Shlom goes, and it takes the sun, as Rashi brings down, took the sun out of his holder. That's an expression that it was a heat wave. And at this heat wave, there was no guests. So, but what's his name? Avram wanted guests very, very, very much. So Hashem sent three angels as should be his guests. One was Malach Erfuel, the king that the Malach that heals him. One was Malach Gavriel. The Gavriel was to destroy Saddam. And one was Malach Mechul, who brought him the great news. So I want to say something before we go on. This is something that doesn't say in the Lekita Luchas here, but he does say it in other places, and I just explained the pasuk this way. One of the things that Rav Nachman explained to us, a very important concept about life, is if you want to do something and it doesn't go, never give up about it. You know, generally speaking, one of the greatness of a Brester was that Rav Nachman always says, never, never give up. Not to give up on yourself because you fell and you sinned, but let's say you want to accomplish something. You want to teach, you want to break a habit. You want to discipline yourself with something. It's just not going. Never, never give up on that. So he says, let's say a guy wants to do a mitzvah. He would love to help people. He loves to be a machlis oirich, or he wants to overcome a habit. He says, never give up and just say to yourself, I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it. If you say it and you focus, then the end, if you really long you want to do it, it will happen. There's a very famous teaching, he says it a few times, that what we generally do, we humans, is that, you know, we try it, okay, I'm going to try to go to minyan every day, I'm going to try to meditate every day. It's not going, okay, I tried, gave my best. Never, never give up. Always yearn and want, and that will come. Listen to the parsha. Avraham, all his life, was a machnes oirich. Machnes oirich meant he brought orchem. And he did this all his life. But he really wanted, he wanted the guest, so he should be able to convince them to believe in Hashem. You're a sick person, you just had an operation, you're not going to take off a day? Well, what did Abram do? He took off a day. They took off a day, and he was recuperating, and the Torah says, I mean, it's very simple, very nice, I mean, He wasn't that he didn't have ever guests and he wants to bring in guests and he's working on it. It was dedicated life thing of Avraham to have guests. Today he was sick. Is it, the Chazal say it was the third day of his bris. The third day is the most difficult time of a bris. So he was really sick. You know how to take off, but Avraham wanted to do the mitzvah every day. So you know what happened? Hashem didn't want guests to come. He took the sun, made it a heat wave. So no one was walking on the streets. But Avraham wanted it so much, nobody sent to him 3 angels. And I'm soon going to show to you how powerful this visit of the angels was. So first of all, 3 angels come. You know what Malach Raful does? As soon as he's there, like this, Avraham got healed. He's a Malach. The Malach, you know, we need a doctor. The doctor cannot heal us. He just gives medicine, diagnosis, stay in bed, drink a lot, whatever, you know, whatever the prognosis, whatever the doctor diagnoses and says what you should do. The Malach, the fool, is not a doctor. Heals you. So the soon as the Malach came, he was healed. So that second, he got a news again that Sarah would have a child, and Gabriel was there. I'll soon explain. This visit of the Malachan, I'll soon show you, changed everything. And let me tell you what the Nosam brings down. A profound, profound medrash he brings down, which many Chassidish don't call this medrash. The medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Shemayim to take the Torah. The Malachim challenged him. And he says, Tanu hoitchu ala Shemayim. Give the beauty for the angels. The angel says, we want it. Why are you giving it to the humans? So the Baruch Shem turns to the angels and he says to the angels, didn't you guys eat by Avraham's table? Weren't you guests at his table? A little respect. You are his guest. And they said, yes, we were his guest, and they closed their mouth. So it comes out, this invitation of the Malachim, which, you know, I want to tell you, most commentaries and Machlokes in the Medrash and in the Pesachim, Avraham did not know there were angels only much later. Right now, he thought there were humans. So the Hachnosis Orche was fake. You understand? It wasn't a real Hachnosis Orche. It wasn't a real guest. He never prepared food there. And the Malachim never needed the food. They put it into the mouth and got burned. So the entire mitzvah, the Torah goes into detail that he made 3 tongues and he even told his wife to bake. And the whole thing was really a fake because they turned out to be angels. But that Achnosis Orchem brought the angels down. And that is caused, the Gnosis says, the Torah was going to be, we got the Torah, the schus of this Achnosis Orchem. The Malachim couldn't give Moshe Rabbeinu a hard time. Started because Avraham wanted it so much to do the mitzvah Achnosis Orchem. Now, he was doing it anyways. You know, a guy learns all the time. Guy makes minyan all the time. He's sick in the hospital. He had a procedure, so he doesn't come to minyan. What is this? No, Avraham wanted to do it every day of his life. Because he wanted it so badly, he was merited by 3 great angels, and these angels, I'll soon explain what Avnosin says, is frightening how we got this Chesed Torah. So, that's the first thing. Because there's another thing we got from the angels. Let me explain this. Avnosin explains this. You know, there's a medrash, not a medrash. The medrash says that the Malacha made a mistake. One man, B'duma, says the mistake they made is they took credit for themselves. And the medrash says the Malach who came down and did his shlichus stayed in this world till Manoach. Manoach, let me tell you who Manoach was. Manoach was the father of Shimshon HaGibber. And an angel appeared to the wife of Manoach, the Shimshon HaGibber's mother, and said, you will have a child that is going to help the Jewish nation. And the Malach did not go up to Shemayim because he made a mistake. He took credit, like it's, I'm the one who's doing it. That's a machlokes in the Midrashim, which Malach this was, Malach Gavriel, Malach Rafael. I'm going into details, a big machlokes in the Midrashim. But since he took credit for himself, he had to stay there till Manoach. Manoach says, I want to give you to eat. He says, I'm not eating anymore. So Rav Nosson explains a profound thing. The Rebbein Shulam wanted to show the Malachim what a challenge we humans have in this world. We must eat. And still, with all our eating, we must still be close to Hashem. And not the enemy will say, you, Malach, came down to this world, and you ate whatever eating meant by Malach, and you made a horrible mistake. You have to stay down till Menoyach. You know how, you know how many years that is? That is from Avram till Matan Torah, till after Matan Torah, till Menoyach was Shimshon. The Machloek is when Shimshon was. The end of Shoftim, middle of Shoftim. I'm not going to the history right now, but it took a long time the Malach had to stay down because he made them, because he ate. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted to show the Malachim that we deserve the Torah because we live in this world and we need the Torah, and the Torah elevates us. Because the truth is, the main sin came with eating. I'm not explaining, because we ate from the Eitz Hadas. Since we ate from the Eitz Hadas, eating, indulging in this world, we got to do it the right way. You got to eat. You got to eat kosher. You got to not overeat. You got to be careful, because eating and indulging in this world pulls us away from Hashem. So that's what Menosin explains, that this is the symbolic thing of the Malachim over here. But the most profound thing from this whole thing is how Avram was sitting on Pesach Yosef. See, let me explain something. The Torah is not a storybook teller. And the Torah, every detail what the Torah says has an incredible, profound meaning. The Torah says, the Yeder of Hashem Baloy Nemamre, he was in the Yosef Pesach Royal, is sitting at the door. Why was he sitting? He wanted to have guests. Wait a minute, you don't have a day off? No, no day off with my Mitzvah Nusaz Orchem. And this is why he was Zoicha to the great Malachim. And this was the cause for the beginning of we were Zoicha to the Torah, and the Malachim were not able to take it away. That's what Moshe explains. We were Zoicha to this. Because Abraham wanted it so much every day. See, unfortunately, we sometimes have days we don't have a counting for it. You know, as we Yiddish would say, we patched it away. Abraham didn't want one day. He was 99 years old. Not a young man who had a procedure done, as we call it in America. And he wasn't going to give up. Then Anasa says in another place a very, very, very profound thing on this pasuk. The word mamre also means to switch. And there's a very famous Torah of Nachman says that in order to be happy, we get challenged in life. The challenges of life to grow. The more we overcome it, the more we can be happy. Now, one of the things that Rav Nachman explained over and over, we are naturally huge kvetch. That's who we are. We love to kvetch. We love to criticize. We love to pout. That's one of the things he kept on. We have to be happy. You have to work on simcha. But the Rav Nachman has another long Torah, which he explains in the Torah, that the more we are challenged and we overcome it, the more happy we could be. It's called temura. You know, temura means there's a mixture. That means what the powerful thing of the Yetzer Hara, who loves to say I'm bad is good and good is bad. That's called oilam hatmura. You know, it's like a goyro. Like, you know, Purim, we get dressed as a Haman. You know, it's called the Temura. Temura means that there's worlds where we have to challenge and figure out the good from the bad. This is the challenge of life. The life's challenge all the time to figure out to yourself the good and what is bad. And very often it's very challenging, it's very confusing for many of us, what's right, what's wrong, do I'm allowed to be strict, I'm not allowed to be strict, or, you know, how do we work about this? This challenge is good. The more you overcome it, the more you're closer to Hashem. So he says like this, Nosson explains the pasuk like this. Vayeiru Eilav Hashem. You know, Avram, Rashi says, Vayeiru means the Shem appeared to him. It doesn't say what happened. So Chazal say, the Vayeiru of Hashem means the Shem came to Mavakachoyla, to visit the sick. Can't make a big Avakachoyla. But he says, Rav Nosson says, it's not, it's a much, much deeper thing than that. He says, Avraham Avinu, when he had the brief now, when the presence of Hashem was there at the moment after the bris, he was healing us as a Jewish nation how to overcome the good from the bad. Because one of the things that we men are challenged often is sex. That's an incredible challenge. It's called Gechoy Mayoyim. It's the heat of the day. That's a huge challenge. So he says, at the bris, which Avraham Avinu got, the Balaturim explains this on the place, that Avraham Avinu sits in Gehenna and he pulls everyone out of Gehenna who had a bris, because the mitzvah of the bris is to calm the Yetzer Hara down, and it's still a huge challenge, but he was sitting there by the door, representing that Avraham Avinu with the bris milah helps us as a nation to over understand each one of us the challenge, what is good and what is bad. That's a Yeroy Hashem, the presence of Hashem was there, Beloyna Moira, and Aroyna Mamre, Mamre means with the places where switches could happen. The Yoshev Pesach Oyel, and he was sitting, Kechoy Mayoyim. So Rav Nosson says that one of the most important challenges of life, Rabbi Yisrael, let me tell you what it is, not to give up. Because you should stand at the door, no matter how. The Torah says he was sitting at the door. Well, you know, the Torah must tell us of Romini was trying to bring a Orchem. But is that the point is? It's amazing. Avraham Avinu, last week's parsha, we learned he had 318 people helping him. You know, Avraham Avinu had a huge household. He didn't have one shiksa in California. He had, I don't know, he had 318 people going with him to war. You think he can have some, do me a favor, it's a hot day, I just had a procedure done, the doctor doesn't want me to hang out outside, make sure you bring in guests. No, the Torah says he sat there b'choy mayoyim. The Torah wants to tell us, the Menasseh says, that the akshonus, the stubbornness to sit there and not to give up by the door. Because often we are about to make it, and even though you fail, be stubborn. Stay inside, as we would say, and keep fighting. That's Gechoy Mayon. It means the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and also says, where the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, the Pasuk says, Eichu Tirei, Eichu Tarz Betzaraim. How could I take the shepherd, says, how could I take in the middle of the hot day the sheep? It's terrible for the sheep. That means the hot represents the Yetzer Hara and the Golas. But if you are stubborn, you sit by the Pesach, you're able to get out from there. Then Rav Nosson says another amazing thing. He says, the next pasuk says, he realized the Vamalochem. He says to Hashem, please don't leave me. So Rav Nosson says a very, very, very profound thing. Every time we make a mitzvah, any mitzvah, let's say we have this great chag, but not just a chag, you did a kind fact to someone, you got someone to smile, really, you got closer to Hashem. Well, we have to continue is ask Hashem, let's do me a favor, don't leave me. Avraham Avinu was sitting in the presence of Hashem, and he sees these malachim, so he thought that these malachim were people. So he says, Hashem, please wait. The Muslim explains, it wasn't just he said, please wait. He wanted the Shekhinah should stay with him. I just had a great mitzvah of Mila, and the Shekhinah is now with me, the countenance of Hashem is with me. He's begging him, do not leave me. So every time you do a mitzvah, a Shabbos, you know, one of the reasons we made Malav the Malka is to Malav the King, to beg to the Shabbos, the spirit of Shabbos, some part of it, stay with us. We don't want to be void of the spirit of Shabbos the rest of the week. So some part of Shabbos should stay with us. So that's what explains that Avraham Avinu davened that some should stay with us. And Rasan explains, the Yah, he saw the angel, the Yoretz Likrosam. I want to tell you something. This is very, very profound. He sees three angels coming. They were coming towards his directions. Why in the world do you have to get up and run?
Even I'll be healthy.
I'm looking for guests. They're coming. Oh, they're coming down the street. I'll wait till they come down the street. Come across. Come. He doesn't say that. He says he ran. So the Nosson explains because Avraham was in such a happy mood. Because right now he made the bris, the mitzvah, even though he was incredible pain and sick, the mitzvah was so powerful, he just ran. Look, let's be honest. If it would have been any one of us, you would have run. You know, we just, you know, scrape our toe and we already wobble. You know what I mean? The hair, he had this procedure and he just, such a happy mood that brought him into, the yoritz, he ran. And he wasn't a youngster, he was 99 years old. And he ran. And the Torah makes that a big thing to explain us that another thing that we should, when you have opportunity for mitzvah, jump and do the mitzvah. Don't let it slide. Don't let it slide out of your hands, the mitzvah. I want to explain from the parsha the same concept of the end of the parsha. You know, the end of the parsha, it says that the Rebbeinu Shem told Avraham Avinu, I want you to bring Yitzchak as the Akedah. Famous thing. I want you to bring Yitzchak onto the Mizbeach. I want you to bring him as an Oiler. So, the end was, the Rebbeinu Shem said to him, all I said to you, I didn't want you to slaughter him. I want you to bring him to Oiler. So, what Avraham Avinu did, the incredible test, that Avraham was tested to bring his son as a sacrifice, was really again an act that the Rebbeinu Shem wanted him to do. Just like over here, by the three angels, were not really Chnosos Archim, they were angels. But it was an act Hashem wanted, that Hashem wanted also, when Avraham brought the carbon, at the end he said, Hashem never wanted. I wanted to see if you're willing and act and do the thing. See, I want to say something very, very important. We have to do every mitzvah. But the most profound part of the mitzvah is what our heart is in the mitzvah. It's not just doing the mitzvah. Because the keder, Chazal say the keder, what was the great thing that Avraham Avinu did it with so wholeheartedly? And Avraham Avinu never wanted him to shecht it, but this was the test. So, look, when we do something to someone, it has such a different meaning when you really love what you're doing. Getting a gift for your daughter's birthday, or for your wife's birthday, or for a friend, and you go out and you do it. If you really love the person, it might be you spend the same amount of money, but it's a whole different feeling that comes across. And this is what Hashem wants from us. Not just do the mitzvah, daven. I want the deep, deep passion in you to do it. That was the whole Akedah was. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted to say, where was Avraham's heart? Because he never brought the carbon. He says, this is a yisod in Yiddishkeit, that the Rebbeinu Shem wants lechmona libe boya. Hashem wants our feelings. And unfortunately, the only way to get this is you must meditate every day. Because no one wakes up in the morning and says, you know, Hashem, I really missed you. I asked the other day someone, when was the last time you told Hashem, you know, I love you? If you don't tell your wife I love you, she gets annoyed, especially if you're young. Wife says, you know, I didn't hear from you the last few weeks, I love you. Or the last 2 days. It's all annoying for her. When was the last time we said to Hashem, I love you? It's so far removed from us that, you know, if I say I love you, someone's going to think something is wrong with this guy. Imagine he tells Hashem, I love you. Because Hashem is not in our conscience. It's so far removed. It's distant from us. And the way to do this is when you meditate every day, you make Hashem a reality in yourself. So you could say, I'm so happy that I woke up and I am aware about you. Like Avraham ran. He ran because he knew this is the will of Hashem. I'm in love with Hashem. Avram is called Oyhavi. That in the last week's Haftorah. Hashem calls Avram his beloved, not just his beloved, the one who loves him. This Avram loves me, Hashem says. Because Avram did everything as he was in love. Now, I don't expect anyone of us after this class get up and say, man, I'm really in love with you, Hashem. But the way to do it is to make Hashem a reality. Then we are able to think, you know, He made us. He put us in this world. And I often say to myself every day, we live a life that since Adam HaRishon was kicked out of Gan Eden, no one had such a comfortable life. That I could see my daughter in Israel, you know, FaceTime, and my grandchildren. I tried to tell this to someone 30 years ago. Probably was science fiction. You know, we lived an unbelievable life. But we don't see why Reb Nachman said you have to work in happiness, because we don't focus on that. Our focus every day is, there's something not good in my life, and that's where I'm focusing right now. This is bothering, and that's bothering me. No one gets up in the morning, yay, I'm alive! And I have a day to live. We get so focused, we get up in the morning, and, you know, the car's not working. I should get a new car. I really can't afford it. And let me catch about it. I always tell people, you couldn't even tell this to a person 100 years ago or 120 years ago. The concept will get into a box and I'll have a whole orchestra there. I always joke with my children. We have a whole orchestra. If you want classical music, you want Chassidish music, you want Mumba music, whatever it's called, whatever you want to get out there. And I could, and it's much more beautiful than the music they have in the Shtetl, that I can tell you. And we are blessed beyond imagination. But we get up in the morning, we don't think about what we have, because we naturally, that's how we in nature, we what's wrong. There's something wrong in my marriage, there's something wrong in my house, there's something wrong with the car, something wrong with my body. We get focused on the negative. I'm not saying there are people who have terrible, terrible problems and terrible tzaddas. It does exist. But we get caught up even when in the non-tzaddas. Most people ask them, how are you doing? They say, Baruch Hashem. So I always tell them, now I know that you're religious. I'm not even convinced you're religious, but when you say Baruch Hashem, I know that you're Jewish and you act religious. But really, they would love to tell me they have a lot to fetch, but it sounds boring. So, what I'm moving away is what Reb Nachman says often in the Torah, that when you meditate, the meditation, when you talk to Hashem, you keep on talking, let's say, you take time, you make Hashem a reality, then you realize, who made me? Who put me in this world? Who put me in this situation? You know, today was a great day. I ask myself this question often. The sun set today. It set earlier. But with my smile, without my smile, I always ask myself today, couldn't I have had a better day today? Imagine I would have been just walking around jolly. Who would have benefited? Myself. It spills over. You know, I always tell people, smile is infectious. But what held us back to celebrating today? So I'm sure some of you say, the rabbi would know the problems that I have. He would say, you're out of kvetch. I'm going to tell you something. If kvetching helps, then you should kvetch. And if being critical helps, be critical. It doesn't help. If anger helps you, be angry. I don't find it through life that anger ever helped me. Being positive helps a person enormously. And this is what we see in the parasha. Avraham Avinu was 99 years old. He had a procedure done. And all he was busy, how can I do another mitzvah? Come on, take it easy, Avraham. One day. day. You know, you miss Minyan one day. Come on. Not one day he was going to miss. And because he didn't want to miss that day, angels came to him. And from this, Achnosis Archem, we learn he was zoicha to Torah later, he was zoicha to great things. He was zoicha. Why would this topic, I want to tell you an amazing Reb Tzudik HaKoyen, which really belongs in Breslov. Last week's Pasha, there's a very, very interesting pasuk. It says in the Pasha, when Avraham went to war, it says he took with him 318 people went to war. The Yishma Avraham heard, Chinishba Ochiv, his nephew was kidnapped. The Yorges Chenichov, he gave them guns, he armed them. You lead their base, 318. Rashi says that the Gemara says it wasn't 318. Wasn't. It was Eliezer Eved Avraham. Eliezer is Gematria 318. What does this mean? The Torah says it was 318 soldiers. Comes the Gemara and he says, no, it was not 318. It was Eliezer alone. Eliezer is Gematria 318. Yeah, amazing. The Torah says 318. And the Gemara says, so the Rabbeinu Bechaya and says a very interesting pshat. He says they started with 318, and he said the only ones who go to war who didn't sin. Well, no one could say that, you know. And this guy said, I spoke Lashon Hara, I got out of bed too late, I missed Krishna. This guy said, maybe I flirted with a lady I shouldn't have done. 318 went home. So the only one left was Eliezer Eved Avraham. But why did the Torah say this? So the Tzudik HaKoyen says, and an amazing, profound insight, he says. He says, Yish, the word Yish means hopelessness. He gave up. Is Gematria 317. Take the word Yish, which Yi, Vav, Aleph, Shin, is exactly 317. He says, Avraham Avinu here was running after the Malachim. He was going to war. He knew this is a very important one. I'll explain in the middle why. So there's no giving up hope. I must save Lot. See, let me explain to you what the Zohar says to explain the why Avraham went to war. Avraham did the most frightening thing we could imagine. Can you imagine you take 318 soldiers and go fight Isa? These were four big kings who won the war against the five kings. They were not some hicktown soldiers. This was trained armies. And Avraham goes with 308, or maybe one other person. What are you doing? After he won the war, the Pasha says afterwards, Avraham was terrified. Maybe they're going to all gang up on me now. And then he was terrified. Maybe I lost my whole Olam Haba. Shem made a miracle. Shem says to him, don't worry. No one's going to come after you. He didn't lose the Olam Haba. But he realized he did something out of the ordinary. I mean, why? Why did Avraham do this? The Zohar says an incredible, profound thing, Rabbi Yisai. He knew from Lot, Mashiach has to come out. Mashiach, Lot had a granddaughter, Ruth. Ruth comes out, Dovid, Shloima, and Mashiach. He knew Mashiach has to come out from here. So for that reason, he knew he's got to save his nephew, says the Zohar. And he did everything to save his nephew. He put himself in danger. So the Tzudik HaKoyen says an incredible thing, that 318 is Gematria. Don't give up hope. Never give up. Because the nature of us is to give up. One of the things that runs through the Jewish blood, I always say, is not to give up hope. There's a very famous story that I always quote from the Klausenberg Rebbe. The Klausenberg Rebbe, my parents are Holocaust survivor, so I always appreciated this word. So the story was, the close of Magarebbe was Hanukkah, times of Hanukkah, and he saved margarine in forced labor camps. They didn't have what to eat. They were dying from hunger. He saved a little margarine, and he was very inventive. He took a thread out of his shirt, and he lit every night a tiny, tiny flicker that burned for half hour every night. So the people around him said, Rebbe, we're dying from hunger. Why don't you eat the margarine? We don't have to have Chanukah. So he says, Chanukah represents hope. As long as we have hope, we'll survive. Because once we become hopeless, we're not going to survive. The blood that goes through our veins is the hope. Yish is Gematria 317. 318 is Eliezer. Keli Uvi Be'ezri. God is my help. And this is that runs through. This is what, especially when he came to save Lot, which I explained, Mashiach had to come out. Because part of us, let's be honest, sometimes we say, is Mashiach really coming? Is he really coming? You know, it hasn't come till now. Is he really coming? This is what they wanted to teach us in our blood. Never give up. Yes, he will be coming. This is what the Nachman taught us also. Never, never give up. But to do this, I must say this again. You must take time for yourself. I want to tell you, it's the most therapeutic thing that you can do for yourself. It's like you sit alone, you talk to Hashem. Who doesn't carry pain around with themselves, or anger and disappointments? If we could look into our kishkes, we'll see we have a lot of hurt, a lot of anger, a lot of the. If we talk to Hashem, we realize who is running the world? Who made me? Who made that? You know that the sun came out this morning. We do almost nothing for our existence. And we walk around thinking how powerful we are. We fill up our gas tank, and the body has to take over. I always joke with my wife, you cook so difficult to make everything tasty, but once it goes into the stomach, it doesn't make a difference how it tasted. And the body has to take over, and if the body doesn't work, then nothing is going to work. But we think, who knows what we are? We are living in a blessed time. If we did this, we could have lived in a horrific time. It's Hashem gave us this, that we are alive, and that we live in a time which is unbelievable. We should really get up in the morning and dance some joy that we're alive. Most people get up in the morning after pushing the snooze button 5 times. Or maybe 10 times. Someone I once gave a class on to a rabbi, but 5 times, or about 10 times, he tells me. You're awake. You're alive. See, let's look back today. We had a great day today. Now, you could have enjoyed your day much more, no matter how much headache and things. So what? So why shouldn't you could have enjoyed the day no matter what. You could have done better. You could have been a better person, a better husband, a better wife, a better child, a better parent. But what happens is, we don't change. What happens is, we get up in the morning, and default mood is unhappiness. Kvetchy, critical, and see what's wrong in life. Any questions? Yes.
There must be a time when someone says, we do give up. When would the time come when
We never give up.
I'm running a business, and the business with everything I do fails. All the advertising, owe everybody money. It means that business is not...
Well, that's for sure. I mean, you got to cut your losses. Yeah, that. Well, no, that's just cutting your losses. See, the difference how you look at it. You look at it as cutting your losses, and you start another business. See, other business people don't look at it, give it up. This is not working. Let me cut my losses and just focus on something different. See?
So that's giving up on that business.
Yeah, but it's not. No. Giving up means you gave up, I'm not going to do any business. If the business is not working, let me cut my losses and do something else. You know, you're trying to go on the freeway and you see this traffic, so you go off. I didn't give up. I just went on the streets.
So you settle.
Yeah, that's right. But this, I didn't give up. That's, life is full of such things that, you know, we got to divert, we got to move away because there's something. If a guy's driving the freeway and there's an accident, he just goes off and he uses the side streets. Did he give up? No, he's going to go to the wedding or he's going to the bris or he's going to visit his friend. How to look at it. See, you looked at it, I have giving it up. I'm looking at it just, this didn't work out, so let me try another route. And I'm, the word giving up is, man, no.
Giving up on life.
Yes, this is, there are, of course, things that you got to put away. This, you know, if it's used up, the phone doesn't work. If the phone is broken, you can, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to dive in the phone should work. Come on, you just toss it. Giving up means there's a part of us that wants to accomplish something and we just gave up on it. Person wants to join a shir every day. Person wants to make sure he makes mincha every day. Wants to make sure that he wants, doesn't want to speak gossip, but wants to walk around with a smile. He says, I tried it so many times. Don't give up. That was Pesach Kechoy Nayoyim. Avram was sitting and he was sad, stubbornness. The Torah makes it a point. Here, Avram, the Tachnos Zarchim every day. One day! Just one day, you can't take up. No, he was stubborn. This is to teach us. You gotta not give up what you're doing. So, I want to encourage you all. Still, you see, many people tell me you don't have time. No, we do have time. Just we don't make time. Take time for yourself. Sit down for, start with 20 minutes. Don't budge. Turn off the cell phone. No cell phone, you gotta turn it off, because it's very tempting for people. Yeah, because people are afraid to sit alone. Just sit alone and say to Hashem, here I am, I'm supposed to do this and this, and just talk first what your feelings are. I gotta do this and it's not working out, and this is not working, please help me. And then say, Hashem, here I am, I would love to have a relationship with you. See? The Rabbani Shlomo hears the whole world kvetch. You know, the whole world is kvetching. Matt, you know, imagine a guy comes home to his wife and he kvetches the whole night. You know, the food is not good and this is not good. Why don't you make this one? Imagine he comes home and tells his wife, I wish I could get closer to you. I wish, how could we make things work better? How could we make the relationship better? I once tried with my wife, and she was very annoyed with me, but she looked at me, what happened over here? I mean, when you tell Hashem, I want to get closer to you, isn't that music to his ears? He hears the whole world is stretching, and you say, here I am, all I want is to do what you want. You want me to be madly in love with you. I wish I could do that. I wish I could be much closer to you. I wish I could have you in my mind. I wish I'd be mamish like a love with a lover in life. So the more a person does it, the more it becomes a reality. See, us, Hashem, is so far removed from our mind. It's not in our conscience even. Yes.
One second.
Yeah.
I hear there is the man asking the woman, what can I do to be closer to you? Why don't I hear the woman saying to the man, how can I be closer?
I'm not going, that's not the topic over here. I'm talking about you and Hashem. When you talk to Hashem and you tell Hashem, I would love to get closer to you. Who do you think Hashem tunes in now? To the kvetch down the block, or he's tuned into you?
Okay.
He's tuned in, wow.
You're avoiding my question.
Well, this is not a Shlomo Bayis class. This is a Shlomo Bayis with Hashem. Yes.
We spoke about longing to have a relationship, close. that Avraham Avinu did was really in terms of, it wasn't articulated. It was through his actions, it was through his desires.
The dibur should bring to Masa. You love Hashem, so you daven better. You love Hashem, you bring a chnos zarchim, you want to convince them to have a relationship with Hashem. You know what I mean? It's cheap to say I love you. It's very cheap to say. And a guy sitting, I always said this, Moshe Wan, a guy sitting with the guitar and singing poetry for I love you, and he doesn't take a job. His wife says, you love me? Get a job and support me. And take the thing and bang him over his head. I don't need poetry all day long and singing. What's the problem? I'm singing I love you all day long. Yeah, that's not enough. You love me? You get a job and make sure we have a roof over our head. You know, of course, the longing comes that there's that we have to do a ma'isa. You have to do, you know, the Noyim HaMelech says this week's Pasha, a very profound word. He says that Avraham Avinu, when he was taken to the Akedah, it says in the Pasha, he, from the beginning, he didn't take anything, but he took wood. You remember how it goes? Hashem tells him, he took with him wood. Fire, he laid light. Why did he take wood? I mean, wherever you're going to go, there's no wood. There's no wood to take. And it doesn't say he took wood, but yivaka, he chopped atze oilo. So the Noyim Melech says, and it brings a Rambam, when a person has greatest utterance, sometimes his heart is inflamed to Hashem, you must do something with it right now. Because then it has a lasting. Person just says, I would love to love Hashem. Do something right now. So Avraham Avinu had such an inspiration. So he wanted to do something with the inspiration. So quickly chop wood. So the inspiration should go into having right now wood that he prepared so that he should take it with himself. Yeah, that's what he did. So all of you should take time for yourself and meditate. You'll see it'll change your life. Okay, thank you.